Desi, noun, a person of Indian, Pakistani, Bangladeshi, Nepali, or Sri Lankan origin who lives abroad.
American Desi. Well, that's what we hope to discover here. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of our show. I'm Akash.
I'm Arjun.
And today with us we have a television actor, film actor, theater actor, most laid-back guy I've ever met in my life because he has no interest in how I introduce him. Welcome to the show, Parvesh Chima.
China.
Well, son of a bitch.
Yeah.
The one time you choose to jump down my throat. It's on the fucking air.
So the introduction was great up until the name.
Hey, man, so I was one letter name. In the alphabet off.
No, you try to make me more Indian than I am.
I mean, I don't think right, that's possible.
Isn't Chima, like, you see that sometimes.
I gotta be honest, I haven't heard Chima or China as a last name.
I've never heard China. I know a couple of Chimas.
I think China's the Pind, right? The farm, okay. The village, okay. Town that we come from.
Gotcha.
Punjabis. Right.
Okay. You're Punjabi.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks I'm Punjabi because I'm a Singh.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, also you're fair-skinned.
Well, so I am fair-skinned.
Are you...
Ladies!
What are you, then? What's your ethnic background?
I'm Indian from UP.
Uttar Pradesh.
Yeah.
Uttar Pradesh.
Yeah. I'm not very
Indian. All of us are going to jump down on everyone. This
I know.
It went from like super late. You guys don't even understand for the first, like the hour before we started.
Which we should have been recording.
We've just been hanging out, just shooting the shit. And now everyone's.
We got too comfortable.
Now we're getting nervous.
Now we're nervous. There's cameras are on. By cameras, I mean mics. Oh my God. Literally everything's getting fucked.
No.
It's all good.
I was really excited to do your show because I always forget, like, I remember that I'm Indian when I'm around other Indian people.
Yeah.
Or when I see my color. You know, like, I'm so in tune with, like, suburban white women culture from Chicago than I do know anything, like, Indian stuff.
So you just straight up don't identify that strongly as Indian.
I'm trying to go toward a global humanist mentality. Especially this past weekend, I don't know when this will air, but when we're recording, it's the day after Easter. And obviously the Passover holiday too. And I went to a Seder on Saturday, because they do 2 days to cover their bases because of the time zone for the diaspora from Israel.
Oh, wow. Did
you know that? Is that crazy?
I didn't know that.
That's why they do 2 days. So they do Friday, and my friends do Friday as the main one with their family, and then Saturday is the more relaxed one where they'll bring us non-religious heathens over. So I had a Seder on Saturday and then 2 Easter party things yesterday, and I just remember thinking, like, we're all so different, but it's all the same. People just get together to eat and drink. So I'm really trying to shift toward this, like, not being...
As of yesterday.
No, it's been for, like, about a couple of years now. I went atheist. I lost my religion.
But you're identifying strongly with, like, religious affiliations.
Because I've been... this whole weekend, especially with my Jewish friends, it was a lot of debate about whether if you're Jewish culturally as well as religious, and they try to separate it. Some do, and some try to keep it together. And so I ask myself all the time, am I Indian culturally? I'm not Indian or Sikh as I was raised religiously at all now. So I do identify. Am I a Chicagoan? Am I an Angelino? That kind of thing. Am I a liberal Democrat, right? So I've been looking at this a lot, and I think I've been... Did you see the Going Clear, the Scientology documentary?
No, I didn't get to see it.
And, like, there's one element that, like, when Xenu does come back or the aliens come, I think that's when the human race will finally be one. When we look at something that's different, totally different than us, like something with, like, tentacles and bug-out eyes, versus how we look for any excuse to separate. Indians, we do. Northern, Southern, you know, Hindu, Sikh, Muslim, Christian, like we...
That's like a sociological
caste
thing,
system.
Though.
I know, so, like, I hate it. I think we're just past it.
But I mean, yeah, I'm just saying, like, if I grow up in Dallas, people from Houston hate people from Dallas. But if Texas is playing, like if there was a football game or something where sure. Everybody from Texas playing everybody from Florida, we'd be like, oh, fuck Florida, we're yeah. Texans. Then if it's South playing the North, it's the South is the best.
And then the Olympics. Then
America, yeah, America, we're all American. It's just a human thing.
I know, I rail against it. I'm from Chicago, so I was odd because I was both a Cubs and a Sox fan. And like my friends would be like, you have to pick one. I'm like, why? They're both Chicago.
Because otherwise there are no sports. We're all just hanging out. Loving each other.
What's wrong with that?
No, it's sports. It's competition.
No, we
You want a sportsless society.
We breed
I
upon
can't
this.
Handle it.
I did. I talked about this with friends too. Like, I really live in the world where we can all win. We can all get the A plus. I had friends who would not help me with my physics homework because of that. I think that they had that feeling like, well, I learned it. You figured it out on your own. And I'm like, wow.
I think this is insane. It comes down to it's overwhelming to have such a global community because it's too big. And I wonder if that's why people break it down in certain ways.
Perhaps, but I also feel that the world's getting smaller with technology.
Sure.
Mom's in India right now, and just the idea of like WhatsApping and FaceTiming, it's just so easy. It's not this distant other anymore. You know, like how WhatsApp, like a group text message.
Sure, yeah, the world is way smaller. We're all connected.
Yeah, we have the family one that you literally see the conversation start when India wakes up, then the folks in London, and then to Canada and Chicago, and then me, I'm always at the end, being in LA at the end of the day.
But we also always share commonalities. I can't conceive in my mind a world where we're completely different, and then we're still just, we have to find some kind of common ground. Otherwise, we're just fucking
staring at
each other.
But that's what he's saying. He's saying that
the common ground is that we're all humans?
That's a big one.
That we're more common than we're giving credit for.
And look at all the, again, any war, I think, has been derived from a lot of territory, religion, nationalism, right? Remember in World War, like, history, Maine, militarism, alliances. I forget what the I was.
Hey,
and then
man,
the N was nationalism.
The M was, so, you know.
These are all the causes for a lot of wars. Like, why we got into World War One, even, you know, after Archduke Franz Ferdinand.
Let me say this, too, though. Let me ask you, because for my desire, because I agree, I hear this argument a lot.
Yes.
And it's an argument that's been presented to us as we explore this idea of community. And it's, you know, it's going to be a big part of our panel event. I understand that. I agree with it on a lot. I feel like we're all people, and I struggle with this idea. But there's something that I feel different with my family.
Yes.
And there are people that have become my family who are non-Indian.
Mm-hmm. Who've married in?
No, I mean just like my friends.
Oh, you're the family that we choose.
Like the family that we choose, right? But there is something about when I go to India, when I'm around my ancestry, where I'm around my people.
You have a pride.
There is not a pride.
No.
It becomes a pride, but what I'm speaking about is a genuine feeling of homeness.
Mm. You don't feel that here?
I feel it in pockets of place. I didn't feel it anywhere in the States until I was in Brooklyn.
Yeah, well then that's maybe your home.
Here it is, for sure. In India, there's another level of home. Mm. And so I there is something of importance about, or maybe there's not, but that's why I'm an advocate for community. Now, if you're saying that your community is every single person in the world, I don't, is that really true?
No, I don't say like my personal community is not a stranger in South Africa or another person in like Peru, but I think that we should start looking at differences and reasons should not be united and more reasons.
Sure. So if we're talking about, so then we're talking about forming a community, right? So
which again,
your
like
personal community.
Well, there's
so
also the element of like, think globally, act locally.
You know, totally.
Like, I don't think I'm going to rush out to try to help the Amazon rainforest other than maybe what I could do in terms of what I choose to buy and purchase,
totally.
Purchasing power. But I know what I can do in my neighborhood.
But in
like
your,
my literal streets.
Totally.
You know?
And I understand like a geographic community, but I'm talking about like your crew, like the people that form your community. What becomes that criteria? Because it's not going to be everyone. You recognize and respect. What it sounds like you're saying is that I want to treat everyone humanistically, like they're a human first, and look past anything else. But you aren't going to get along with everyone.
No,
not everyone's going to be a part of your community.
But I don't also get along with everyone in my family or like the Sikh community when I was growing up. Like I remember when, for a while, I think we were talking about like basketball, hip hop, how there's a lot of relation with the South Asian community with that.
Right.
Look at Akash.
Yeah. You know,
but like, you know, in terms of style and identity. Right. But growing up, I remember like that shift when I stopped. Like, I remember when I was like, I don't want to buy the Bell Biv DeVoe CD. I want to get the Nirvana CD. And all like the Indians were like, what is that? I remember like one friend thinking that REM, you remember the Losing My Religion video when they brought a lot of, I think it was like, Victorian or what time period of like that kind of art that they had, you know, the angels and that
I don't
one
remember the video at all.
There's a finger like in a like a they're I think the, people are like examining an angel who had fallen to earth. I remember them saying like that video was disgusting. I just remember being like, it's REM. It's just a rock song.
Right.
And I just remember like that shift. I remember it's so specific where I'm like, oh, I don't want to like what so everyone else likes.
You didn't feel safe. What is that? You didn't feel safe or connected with.
Not even safe is the wrong word. It's just like, you know, when you start identifying on your own, when you have to be that straight dude and you just realize that, like, man, I love this Katy Perry song, and you're going to rock out to Roar when you're driving. It doesn't have any other implication other than you acknowledge, I like this. I don't care what anyone else says.
Made that decision when I was about 15.
About what?
I'm just like whatever the fuck song I want to like, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
I'll sing Katy Perry right now.
Did you have like, something different up until then? Did you feel like you had to listen to...
Yeah, when you're a kid, especially when I was growing up, everything was like, oh, you do this, you're gay.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, hey, man, you know what? I'm just like what I like.
See?
I'm going to watch The Notebook sometimes at home alone. Yeah. That's who I'm going to be.
And then also being gay, though, that's an element, too. I remember, like, those first formative songs, like when we were, you know, like the first songs that you remember. I remember it being, like, Material Girl and Beat It and Billie Jean, you know,
yeah,
because of the music videos that we got right to see on sure Friday night videos, like at 1 in the morning.
The number of times I watched Beat It and tried to lean over yeah in that way, and the number of times I fell on my face.
Showbiz Pizza is where they would play music videos in between the animatronic guys, and right, I remember, like, get rid of the animatronic, get rid of the gorilla and Chuck right E. Cheese. I want to see the music videos. Right. Remember, like, Material Girl, Karma Chameleon.
Well, let me ask you, I want to go back to this community idea, though, because that is fascinating to me.
Because, I mean, this is, I think, a big aspect of your podcast.
Yeah, is what, so what becomes, what do you look for?
With who I seek out.
That becomes a part of your community.
Who makes me laugh? Who do I like to go see a movie with at midnight? Who am I going to sit on my sofa and binge watch Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt with, you know? We were talking about, like, the iPhone, like, our favorites, and I'm just even looking right now.
I'll just give you
like the top five. I got my roommate, who's Haitian American, one of my best friends from college. I got my mom. I got my friend Sonal, who's Gujarati Indian from Chicago, who done theater. So my friend Jaya, who's also kind of like my little sister, because she's Indian Irish Catholic. Her dad's Indian, and her mom is Black Irish, and she was in theater school with me, and she was 2 years younger, so she's always been like my little sis. My friend Armand Vasquez, because he's Mexican. Alan Pierre, another Haitian, Rizwan Munji, John Fleeking, Armenian, Brian Coffey, Jewish. It's just, you know,
I'm going to say I hear not a lot of white people on that list.
Also, a lot of Indians, about 50%.
Well, then we get to Barb and Sean and Doug,
but
Stephen Feeder, Jewish.
But there is a commonality.
I think
there is some thread. There will be some thread. If you look at it, there's going to have to be.
And that shift happened in high school, too. When I don't know about you, obviously, you did high school theater, choir, whatever.
I did theater, yeah.
Performing arts.
And an a cappella group. As
yes.
I like to tell.
My a cappella group was called Crazy Eight.
Mine was called the Beatitones.
Nice. We did like...
Oh, man.
Yeah. Ours was Crazy Eight Guys.
Yeah.
Danny Sama and I were the two Indians in it. It was great. But I remember in high school, you know, like how people, the idea of like, ours wasn't so much at lunch, you know how like in Mean Girls, like how the cool Asians, nerdy Asians, cool girl, whatever.
Right.
It wasn't really lunch. You saw the differences at the assemblies in the field house.
Mm.
It would be like, I'm from suburban Chicago, Naperville, right, Illinois, which is super, super white and Asian and then Black and then Latino, I think, in terms of ethnicity. And it would be like a sea of white people and then like the group of Black people in the middle and then like sometimes like the two or three rows of Indians sometimes. And I remember this one girl said to me once, like, dude, Parvesh, hang out with your own race, Indian girl. I was like, I'm hanging out with my theater fags, you know, like, because we were theater fags, band nerds, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was just, that was it. It was who liked to do what I did. Who was I going to be in rehearsal with for 3 hours after school for play rehearsal and then have a lunch, dinner break, and then come back for a swing choir, show choir rehearsal from 7 to 10. It was people who I performed with. That was it. It was really, obviously a lot of these people are artists, creatives, and some aren't. My friend Barb worked, you know, as executive director of a Y back in Chicago. My friend Libby is a school teacher. Libby had her baby today, so happy birthday, Henry.
If we air this on April, which
No. I'm just saying, like, when Henry hears this in 10 years, he'll be like, oh, on his holodeck.
as he rides his hovering scooter.
Yeah, exactly.
His hoverboard.
That's the shift right there. It was never about ethnicity, religion. It's like, you know, like how you have friends, they have drug friends, you know? I would always be like, my friend Will, like, why are you hanging out with Victor? He'd be like, Victor has the pot.
So here's what I'm hearing is that your culture was theater. Drug kids' culture was drugs.
Yeah.
We are also, as Indians, we strongly identify, or if you're religious, your culture, it kind of becomes, we've spoken to some Muslims whose culture was kind of Islam.
Uh-huh.
And for us, the culture was India to a large degree.
Yeah.
And so to identify with that.
I don't know if growing up, that was my culture.
It is a large part of my culture growing up.
Are most of your friends Indian Americans?
No, I have actually a pretty diverse mix, but yeah. I have some family friends I grew up with that are Indian that, like, here's what's weird is I'm quicker to call an Indian family than anybody else.
Yeah.
It's not like I won't. I have white people that are brothers. We've had on the podcast, but like. Indians are a little bit quicker to just be like, yeah, sure. We share this huge commonality. In the same way that you share a huge commonality with a theater kid,
yeah.
I share this huge commonality with an Indian kid.
Yeah, I have more to talk about Sondheim or Andrew Lloyd Webber with a friend than I do about the Mughal Empire.
Well, I mean, and I wouldn't be able to, and I'm not necessarily saying that it's about steeped in Indian history, but sure. It's about understanding, like, it's a common experience thing that, like, in there's a context that I have growing up when I speak with other South Asians, and it's, for me, it's not even just Indians that are grown up here, but other South Asians right. here, that it's quicker. And it's like, I've experienced this with my black friends a lot. It's like, I'm close with a lot of my friends who are black, but I know there's a different level of closeness that they have with their black friends.
Perhaps. I think that maybe we should challenge ourselves to look past that.
I agree with that we should, but I'm just saying that there is an element of that does happen.
Well, there's an element of familiar.
But it's in the
same
way.
That's what you knew. Like, if I know, you know, if I knew how to play guitar and you guys were jamming and I could pick up because I knew how to do it, but what if I didn't like it? But I knew how to do something, you know? Just because you know this about this history with someone doesn't mean that what if you grow up and you're like, you know, I really don't like that person. But you can just easily pick up where you were because, again, religion,
I think
race.
I think I might have got lost. But
I lost you in that.
If what
too.
I'm understanding is I'm not going to like a dude just because he's Indian. I'll give you a chance just because you're Indian, but you can still be a piece of shit.
Why would
just,
I give
even
everyone
if you're
a
South
chance?
Asian. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So I'm saying I'll give anybody, yeah, anyone gets a chance, but it's not like, oh, this dude's South Asian. We're friends no matter what. If you ain't shit, you ain't shit.
I was challenged a lot by my ex. My ex really opened my eyes to a lot of things of like my own hypocrisies of like how I'd be like, I think of what a lot of people do right now with Mormonism and Scientology. When we look at like when we watch Book of Mormon or we see Going Clear, the expose, the right. documentary, we're like, what are they talking about? Mormons, the golden plates, Scientology, Xenu, and we're all filled with alien planet prisoners. But then at the same time, then we'll ignore the fact that that God who walked on water and came back to life 2 days after he was crucified, or the prophet Muhammad, you know, like how we, what is the difference between religion and a cult? It's time.
So you're talking about yes and no. I don't know. That's a big jump that you
why?
Just
why
made.
Why? We don't know what happened 2,000 years ago.
I also feel like we changed subjects a little bit, but my personal view on
I really tie religion
and
race
culture together.
Yeah, because I think that that's where we did come from. It's our code of ethics in a sense too.
Yeah, but I don't know that that's the same experience culturally. I mean, culture is more than just religion.
It can be.
It's language. It's food. It's sure. It's clothes.
But then I love fusion
culture.
Food.
Like you're friends with a lot of immigrant kids. You guys share a certain commonality just being children of immigrants.
Yeah.
You got a Haitian parents. It's probably the same emphasis on education, emphasis on work hard mm-hmm. and you get whatever you want. So there's a commonality that you're going to share with him just he's an immigrant. And that's a culture in and of itself.
Well, we're all
now,
immigrants
we got might
at one
get
point.
More specific. Sure, but and first like, generation.
And look at our British friends.
Well, I'm talking first generation.
Sure.
So you're not necessarily going to share the same bond with the guys a fourth generation Irish person as you would with a Haitian American, because they're going to talk about their parents doing this. And you'd be like, oh yeah, my parents did that. So I think it's just a commonality there. And for you, a big thing is theater. So I might be like, oh, I'm friends with Parvesh Chinna, but I'm not as close with him as some of his theater guys are, because they just share this huge commonality that I don't.
Yeah,
I don't really care about the theater.
Exactly.
So it's the same kind of thing with culture, I think. This is your theater, I think, is what you've identified as your culture.
I also do, I think that we're fortunate to be in America. Whatever, pros, cons, good, bad, every place has good, bad. You know, I do feel very hashtag blessed to be here. And I look at even like Europe in terms of like where we have, there's a diversity. And when I do go, like people make this joke too, like when they go to China or India, which are these huge monocultures, monoculture being like it's 95% one race. Why get off the plane in India? And the first thing I think is like, wow, there's so many Indian people. You know, and I almost divorce myself from it. Isn't that funny? Like, I just, the first thing I see is like, where are the black people? Where are the white people? Where are the mixed race kids? You know, it's so funny. Like, that's my first.
Well, I gotta ask, sometimes. I mean, we've been, I want to ask about your sexuality and how that plays a role into this, if it does at
are
all.
Are you hitting on me?
I mean, maybe.
Arjun. Your bedroom's right behind.
Yes, it is.
Can we have a cuddle?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. Wouldn't
that
be nice?
Can I be Little Spoon?
Oh, sure. I like when short guys are the big spoon.
Great.
Isn't that sweet?
I'm going to tell you something about spooning.
Yeah, tell me.
I don't like big spooning because my head is then stuck in women's hair in a way that I can't breathe anymore.
You're tall enough. Can't you? Aren't you over it?
It's no. Because the pillow is such, there's still pillows. You still have, the head still has to be on a pillow.
But then if you, but then now look, the short person now is just going to be into your back.
I'm okay. So
have you ever done back-to-back cuddling? Where you just like, are just, you're just backs are against each other.
I wish you guys could see. Why are we not filming this? Because I wish you guys could see what's happening to
fun?
Your face.
Do you know what
right
I mean?
Now.
Like, isn't that
I
cute?
Mean, literally, I'm telling Akash to film it right now, not subtly.
I remember there was this one boy who I liked on like a choir trip. And I just remember like, it was cold in the hotel room. I remember we're just like back to back. And I just remember being like, ah, it's so nice. Adam Hitchman, wherever you are.
Adam Hitchman, like, you introduced him to back cuddling in a way that
he didn't know. I mean, it was just more for me. He just wanted to get warm.
All right, well, taking away, giving him credit and then taking it right away from me, that's not very nice.
I wanted to make sure that Adam did not initiate the back cuddle. I did.
All right, well, we're aware that you are the forthright when it comes to sexual aggressiveness. But I do want to ask, we are interested in exploring the topic of sexuality, especially with South Asian culture, where it is not talked about.
Which is it's so funny. We're the Kama Sutra people.
Yeah, but it is funny. I agree, and it's absurd.
Or the temples that have the same sex couples, you know, in the marble and the stone and everything.
Absolutely. I mean, actually, it's a product, to me, it's a product of colonialism. If I were to place my, you know, slightly educated hat in the ring.
Come on, NYU, you're educated.
Not enough on this subject to speak with any expertise. Okay. But that's just my theory, is just from what I understand. It's just, so, but the reality is homosexuality is illegal in India.
Yes, again.
Again.
It's the Oscar Wilde law, the gross indecency law from the Brits.
It's something that's not really welcomed in our community here in the States.
Because we're conservatives here.
Well, the conservatives are the ones that came here, I think.
Exactly, right?
Absolutely. It was the professionals. But our generation is very different, which is interesting.
Because we were born and raised on Sesame Street.
Exactly. And so
I'm glad we agree on that, because like that, we have to remember that artists, for example, don't leave a country. I'm not going to go work in Chile and be a Chilean artist because I'm American, you know? So like, think of like our Bollywood scene, the music, everything. They are not here. They're trying to come now with TV, film, but they would not come as like, I'm going to raise my kids here in America. No, we got the brain drain, the STEM.
We got science, tech,
engineering.
We did, and for a lot of them, we're conservative, and a lot of them are still. I mean, the generation above is very different than it. It's really fascinating in that that's why Bobby Jindal, Nikki Haley, even this Neil Kashkari don't really represent me as an Indian.
That's interesting. A lot of our prominent politicians who are South Asian politicians are conservative. Super Kamala Harris is, I think, she's mixed, right? Or is she?
I don't actually know who that is.
Our district attorney for California.
Oh, okay.
She's running, I think, for Barbara Boxer's U.S. Senate seat.
Oh, wow.
Maybe she's Indian. I'll check on the Google while we're doing this, because maybe it's just because her name is Kamala. That's why I think she's Indian.
But I did want to ask, you know, as a South Asian who is gay, did that affect the way that you saw the community? Did you feel...
Oh, definitely. I think that that's when, because there was a refuge in theater, and I don't want to say like stereotype or form follows function, but there are definitely more gay people in...
So you felt safer there. You felt safer to be yourself. I mean, ultimately, community to me always represents a place where you can feel comfortable to be who you are.
Yeah, that's great. Kamala Harris is also Kamala Devi Harris.
So she is at least half, right?
I got. She's got to be
married,
right?
Indian married, probably.
Oakland. Yep, daughter of Indian mother. Cool. And Jamaican American father. So, do you see, like, out of national prominence, she's like the one.
The one
compared to so many
who are South Asian, or who are Republican or conservative, at least
exactly
on that side of it.
And then, yes, back to your question about sexuality. There's that element of, like, it's just so funny why people get so and we are protected, I think, in a sense of, you know, look at us. We go back and forth between New York, LA. I stop over in Chicago sometimes. And we forget the rest of the country sometimes. But LA, my life here, it's not within, it would be no big deal for us to be walking hand in hand or anything. You know, it's not an issue. So it's so fascinating to think that there are people in the country or world who have like a problem with who ultimately I have sex with. Isn't that crazy?
It is crazy.
It is so silly.
But it is reality.
Yeah. And so like in terms of like immediate community, I think I'd already kind of like, they weren't really my close friends anyway. So it was
But growing up, you were in a suburb of Chicago. You weren't, I don't know how, because of Chicago, maybe it was more diverse and more accepting than potentially.
Do you think homophobia within your community made you not identify with the community?
It's quite possible. South Asian community. Because I wonder if like that's a therapy question. I don't know. I mean, that could be, but then some of my closest friends are Indian too. Like I was out and with, and had a South Asian theater company that we had founded, Sonal Jay and I and some friends, which is still around actually in Chicago, called Rasika Theater. And back then it was like a non-issue. I came out to my folks at 21, came out at 18 to most of my friends who didn't know like by end of high school.
How did your parents respond?
Oh, they were mad.
And the rest of your family, they were mad.
My parents had divorced by then, and then my mom, I remember crying. And I remember telling her, like, oh, I thought you'd be much cooler about this. And then I did, because I was 21. And I worked on Sean Saves the World with Sean Hayes. And I told him that he was part of my coming out story. I had written a note to him for Thanksgiving. And I had said to my mom, because then I was got heated. And I was like, you watch Will and Grace. And she said, that's a TV show. And I'm like, it's real. I mean, it's based in fact. It's not like a alien colony,
right?
In Saturn, it's based on people. And it was just so funny, like how they didn't. She that connect wasn't there at first for her. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like TV is fake, not based in truth or fact. And so, but now she's kosher. She's my ex boyfriend. Came home like every Christmas, every Thanksgiving.
So she came around on it.
Oh, like super fast.
But it was so. It wasn't necessarily that.
Not like in a day, but.
But she came around. What about your father?
Father and I don't, we don't speak.
Sorry to hear that.
No, before or after?
Oh, before. There was other
Does
stuff.
Does he know? You didn't speak, so you wouldn't even really.
No, I did go to him and told him.
And do you mind if I ask about that reaction?
Yeah, it was weird because we hadn't talked. So he was just kind of like, it's already awkward and just shy and cut off anyway. So it was done.
So it was just more awkward and shy and cut off
than
normal.
Yeah. Just say being what there's, a relationship with you know an how Indian father is.
There's an element of like, I think when you're an adult child of divorce, there's especially, well, that cusp of adulthood, right? You know, where decades ago, we were adults at 16, 13, plowing the farm. And then now we're becoming later and later. I'm 35 and I'm like, why am I still a child? Why am I still going out till 1 a.m. on a Sunday? You know, that element. But then it was still like, either when you're at that age of divorce, I think there's going to be a point where you either choose to be a grown up and mature about it. And I think I went the latter. And I went the opposite. And I was like just very immature. And there's an element too, like it was a bad divorce, which I don't want to get into too much, but I definitely sided with my mother.
Mm-hmm.
So that was it was done. When I think of my family, it's my mom and brother.
What about your family in India? Are you close? Do you go to India a lot?
I've gone like the last couple of years. My grandfather passed away 2 years ago, three now, and I was able to make it while he was still on his last days. This is so macabre. I was in the room when he started going, flatlining a bit, which is, that's life. It was almost kind of beautiful. I had that thought of like, just let go.
Mm.
Like 93, 94, mm-hmm. You know, he was not verbal. He was...
Right.
I think that the breathing thing and everything, I'm like, just let go. And I hope he did, you know, peacefully.
Right.
And so that visit, and then I went this past December, because now I'm single, so you do those things that you really can't tell a boyfriend or girlfriend, hey, I'm going to go to India for a month. Right. Bye. Right. You know, you can do that when you're single. Right. So I went with the family and everything. And
are you out with your family?
Yeah, you can, but again, there's an element of like, if you're never in the closet... as an adult professionally, they have to deal with it. And they see Facebook and Google and everything.
Right.
So and on the WhatsApp, you do talk about Gregory and I are having a great Christmas. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Right.
They can do the whole thing friend. I'm like, no, he's not my friend. This is my partner. This is my boyfriend. You have to really, there's an element to Harvey Milk that really sticks with me, especially even in the movie about Milk, where the character, when Sean Penn is playing him, he says, you have to come out. Every person who's out, that's one less person that you can't say Arjun or Akash. You guys can't say you don't know a gay person now. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Which is so odd for us to think about in 2015, but back in the 70s, even right. in San Francisco, huge deal.
But in some ways, India is like that environment, if I not know. Worse.
Because, well, you hear about marriages between like gays and lesbians, because how family life and marriage is the pinnacle.
Right.
My relatives always just talk about marriages and what party, every weekend, the party is a wedding. You know, it's all about weddings and like this idea of matrimony. And that's like, I feel like, what do you do after?
What hurts me,
it just but they get married. And this is happening in China too. I just listened on NPR that they do the same because it is the thing. And remember also, they have the one child law.
Right.
And if you want to have a kid, that's the way you kind of have to do it.
But it just hurts because it just feels, I mean, I wouldn't. It would be hard for me to identify with this culture and with this community that is so against this part of who I am.
I guess maybe that's why it's not such a big deal. It's like, it's just part of me. It's not the forefront identifier.
It just makes me sad. It makes me sad that that's happened to so many of our people in our community because I personally don't think that's acceptable at all.
Yeah, but what are we going to do?
I think conversations like this are what allow things.
And so then
we have to open their eyes that this is a thing.
Yeah, and then the old ones will die off.
It's true. I would.
That's what I was going to ask you. Your younger family, probably, at least in America, I know younger kids don't care at all.
Yeah, they don't give a fuck. How many fucks do they give? Zero.
Same with India?
Yeah, like cousins, Brits, the Brits, especially the Canadians, but also the ones in India, could care less. I remember coming up to my cousin Sharon, he was like, okay, do you want to have some scotch? I mean, like, it was just like, not an issue. And he's only a year older. So, because he also doesn't. He's also dating a woman who's divorced and has a kid, and that's a scandal. You know,
right.
My aunt, who like had an issue like with us going to hang out when I was in December. And by the way, she's stunning. She's living alone. Her parents are nearby because you know they do send even a divorced woman is still going to still be close to her parents. But she's making it. She's doing it. She's got a great kid. But that's an issue for them. Isn't that so funny? The idea of like, what does that family do? You know, when they arrange and make the matches. And so it was just so odd that who cares? I think that there's also an element to, at least in my upper middle class family.
I think dating somebody with a kid is kind of a big deal.
Pardon me?
I think dating somebody with a kid is a big deal.
If you're
think at 30, in your 30s, 36?
I think if you're dating, because then, yeah, if you're dating them seriously, that kid is going to become your kid.
Of course. It's not like anything to be tread lightly with, but.
At the same time, your family shouldn't necessarily be like, ooh, you're dating someone with a kid. I don't think
you're not
in
the family anymore. If that's what it is, that's crazy.
Right.
Yeah.
It is a big deal.
I don't think it's going to be that. They're not going to disown them, but I don't think they're happy about it either. You know, don't say.
But it's a different thing than what you're talking about. You're talking about how people, the responsibility that comes with that.
Right.
With a child.
They're talking about it's taboo.
Yes.
How are people going to talk about my family now that my right. son is. Right. I mean, that's a different thing.
Right.
But I hear what you're saying.
And you know how like a lot of people in India don't work? And like families, you know, a lot, and it's not a sexist thing, but like I know a lot of the women in my family don't work. Husband worked.
Right.
My aunt, I love her. She just never worked professionally. Obviously, raising children, taking care of a household is a big thing, but even different from American, it's easier to take care of a household in India when you have
servants.
Three servants.
Right.
And then more people, and everything comes delivered. It was so fascinating, like how things would just come.
Yeah.
Like at that morning, it felt like Downton Abbey. Like just the deliveries would start coming. The fruit, the eggs,
yes.
the piaz, you know, the onions.
Yeah.
And it was just like fascinating to me. Like, oh, you really don't have to do that much. All you have to do is put it over there, set it over here, you know, clean this bathroom. So I think that they have a lot of time to spend on worrying about marriage and family and these kind of things. Do you know what I mean? Here, we don't give a fuck because I got to work. You know, I got to get busy. I want to go make something of my life or help this community or planet
better.
Well,
you think they care less here somehow?
It's not a priority as much. I don't think a lot of my friends here, any race, care as much if you're dating. I'll use this specific example of dating someone with a kid as they would more in like our ancestry homelands, you know?
Yes, I would agree with that.
Right, that's it.
But I don't necessarily, yeah.
To that specific example.
But there's still...
I think it's less, do you love that person? Are they a good person? I think that's the priority.
I mean, I was on a few dates with a woman who had a couple kids, and my friends were a little like, are you ready for that?
Yes.
And so that was, it wasn't... But I think we're arguing. We're all arguing the same thing.
And
I
what
think
age?
Really,
wait, may I ask? You're.
I'm 28.
Oh God, you're a baby.
Yeah.
No, but like, there's an element. There's seriously, an element. 28 to 35.
Huge difference.
Especially massive with difference. The idea of like with our girlfriends who are, at you know that baby making time is short.
Right.
Unless you start going into IVF and you know in
vitro. Or freezing your eggs.
Exactly. This is the element, and friends have done it. I even put on Facebook like I feel so bad. I haven't seen so many of my friends' kids who have been born yet, you know? And so I'm at that age where I do think about that, like it not being an issue. Or dating a man who had kids with a previous partner or relationship would not be, I think that would just
but
be
I want to go back to the core of it, of just the idea. And it's beautiful that we're seeing a shift that the younger generation doesn't give a fuck. That's amazing, and it's what it should be. But my question is, when we were younger, that wasn't there. People did give a fuck.
And there's an element too, like about and religion, in our community where religion here, ties into it.
But in our community here, not Hinduism.
Well, Sikhism.
Ah.
Like the Sikhs in Canada were told, I think, I don't know what like the anymore, like if there's like a higher authority. Obviously, I don't think, like, I guess if you're going to call it the Golden Temple or Amritsar, the Vatican City or the papalhood, you know, of Sikhism, they were mad about the when Canada went allowed gay marriage. I remember that. And I remember being challenged by that because I would still go to Gurdwara because it was that kind of spirituality sense as
it's
I was
a beautiful
leaning
place
toward
Gurdwara.
Yeah.
It can be. It can be.
Leaning toward agnosticism, you know. And then the shift was like, here's a question I do ask a lot of people who are religious. Would you be my friend, Parvesh? Arjun, would you be my friend if I belonged to a country club that did not allow black people in or would not allow women in? Or would not, you know, like that idea, like no blacks allowed. You probably wouldn't. Or you'd probably have a big fucking issue with me. Like, Parvesh, how can you actively do that? Then I ask, how can you be a part of an organization or identify with something like a religion that actively does prevent people from some happiness and rights or posit that you should be, convert these people, otherwise they're evil or sin, everything from Scientology to Catholicism and Islam and in between. Scientology, I wish you guys need to see the documentary about like the repressed people or suppressed people. If you and I are both brothers and we're Scientologists and I leave the church, you cannot talk to me anymore.
Yeah, I know.
Isn't that insane?
It's absurd.
Why would you be a part of something that would prevent love and happiness and the rights? Again, I live in this world where what I do ain't affecting you. You know, I'm not hurting you, but I think a lot of groups, religions and whatnot do push legislation and politics and their point of view from everything from abortion, gay rights, all the social issues that do actively affect people.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think it's better now to be a gay person in South Asia?
It's always better now than it was yesterday, right? To an extent.
I don't know. Is that true?
To a point. Yeah. I mean, technology, internet awareness is growing. Obviously, this putting it back on the books in India on the law where gay sex is illegal. Like, how do you police that? I think it's a fear tactic. I think it's a scare and it's a intimidation aspect. But like, remember, like, but how sodomy was just taken off the in America. Remember, the Supreme Court finally ruled that sodomy was no longer illegal.
Right.
And Scalia was, you know, Justice Scalia was shocked and said this would lead to such a downward troddenness of our country. And what does it do? It allows more people to marry. It heteronormalizes everything. I talked to some of my friends and like their gay friends in their 40s and 50s, and they talk about like, oh, it's no longer fun being gay. You know, the identity of being the minority and being like, they talk about this. They're joking, but like they like sneaking around and going to that secret club and everything. And now it's just like, you just have wife and kid, or your husband, three kids, you have your house.
But it's not as easy in certain communities. It's not as easy in the black community. I mean, sure, it's probably better than it was 20 years ago, but it is still not talked about. But it's still not talked about. I'm saying that I'm coming from the standpoint of it's not talked about enough in the South Asian community in America.
Sure. But it's growing. Look at how many gay Indian actors there are. I'm not going to out everyone.
I'm not going to out everyone. I was thinking,
my friend Venk and I do want to do, like a short where it's called The Gay Indian Mafia. Where we just, it's just because there's a lot of us. Malik is, you know, Malik Pancholi, who's a friend, and he's married. They proposed at the Taj Mahal. And that's a great story, you know, he and his husband. Yeah. So there's an element. I think that people fear it also. Now, let's go very specific in the acting community, because white, black, anyone, if you want to be a leading man in America, you feel like you have to be straight, because it's that perception in film that will men want to be you and will women want to have sex with you?
Right.
Right? We hear that all the time.
Yeah.
I'm a 5'6" character actor with a huge nose. I'm fine in my world. But we talked a little bit. I did not get a pilot recently.
I'd love to hear
ultimately
that.
Yeah. It was just, and this is, I'm not going to go into so many specific details because I do want to work, but they did say it's because I was gay. It boils down to it, you know, not a gay character, but I think because I was gay in real life. And I did have that moment of like when Rupert Everett had talked about his advice as a gay British actor was to tell gay actors not to come out. I remember being like, fuck you. You made a career being Julia Roberts' best friend. You did a movie with Madonna. You know what I mean? You did an Oscar Wilde piece, you know, right. Ideal Husband or something. But that one moment when I didn't get it, and that was one of the reasons why. And who knows? It could also be bullshit. I could just have been awful. You know, I could have been.
That's not.
You never know.
That's not possible.
But that would be an interesting. Yeah. But that would be. It's too specific of a reason not to have given to why you didn't get it. But then you think the weirdest one is sometimes the most truthful. It's very odd. I was shocked. And it was 2015, and I did eat a lot of pizza that week.
Pete, comfort food, man.
Hey, man.
Well, so do you think that, do you wonder, I guess I wonder, I mean, I didn't go through this. I imagine that it was difficult, that it is difficult for a lot of gay people to come out in general, even if it's 2015.
Yeah. But the kids are coming out in the middle school now. Gays. Sure, but I went to Sundance this past year and in front of like the theater in Utah. Mind you, it's Sundance. But they had the gay student. They had the gay straight alliance selling like they were selling like concessions in front, and I didn't want anything, so I just gave $5 and they gave me a rainbow bracelet. I remember like, all right, Utah high school. I mean, that is still pretty amazing.
I'm not saying that there's not progress. I'm wondering, do you think that there is a message we need to send to our young South Asian or young people who are gay? Or is there, I mean, do we need to be talking about, do you think we need to be talking about it more as a community?
I don't know if it's necessarily that, and people might disagree that we have to always have conversations and sit down and chats about it. I just say live your life openly and freely.
But it takes courage. You living your life openly and freely is allowing someone else the courage to do that.
Sure, I would hope so. That's right. That's a nice sentiment and thought.
But like, point.
Then I see my friend Seth, who's got his boy, like 4 or 5 years old, who wears dresses, and he's like, I don't know if he's trans or if he's gay. He hasn't said it. He wants to wear a dress. He's going to wear his dress and we're going to walk around the neighborhood, around the reservoir. And it's great. And I love that. It's also, I think a little bit, it's also on the parents. Yeah. I think our generation of friends, like who are joking, like, you know, and these are jokes that of course, sometimes the media, both on the pro gay and anti gay side, get an uproar. But like one friend was like, I hope my kid's gay. You know, it's kind of cute. And another friend, Carrie, talked about her boy who was just obsessed with Gwen Stefani. You know, like, yeah. Always wanted every photo of Gwen and People Magazine.
Man,
everything.
I played with Barbies all day.
It doesn't, sexuality is fluid too. I do think that allowed them kind of to lead the way. I think even one of Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt's children is identifying, wants to be called a different
I heard
name.
Something about this, but I didn't,
Yeah,
I think I didn't follow it.
Born a girl and now wants to just wear boys' clothing and be called a boy's name. And the less, you know, kind of like when a child falls, because I was around children this weekend with the holiday, and a child falls, they look to be like, am I hurt? And then you see like the parent who freaks out, then the kid starts crying. My friends Amma and Joan have a beautiful daughter named Asha, and Asha fell all the time, and I was like, oh, and Amma like grabbed my hand, she's like, no, she's fine, she's fine. And I just looked out of the corner of my eye, and she like looked, waited to see. And nothing happened. And she just got up. And so I feel like that is one way.
But there is a point where you break your arm and then you start crying.
Well, of course. That's a pain element. But like the thing I'm saying, like the analogy to coming out and gay stuff is that the way I wait for the day when it's not a big deal. You know, and I think that you see that more. That's why I was talking about like the gay straight alliances, kids coming out in middle school. For me, since it was taboo in the 90s to come out, it was such a thing. Like it was just you waited till freshman year of high school, of college. You know what I mean? Like you knew,
right?
It was that was the time to do it,
right?
Now, again, let alone high school, middle school, elementary, whatever they identify. I want to kiss a girl. Okay, Stephanie, if that's what you want to do, you know, when you grow up, then you can. You can love whoever you want, and I do see that so much. But then again, maybe it's because I live in Los Angeles. I wonder if I'm in a bubble.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm curious about that also.
Right? You know, I don't spend much time in Kansas. Would I be more, and here's a question to myself, would I be more shy or scared or tentative to hold a boyfriend's hand in Mississippi or Arkansas or Indiana?
Have you traveled?
Would I be able to go into a business in Indiana if I was holding hands with my partner after this law?
Did you ever travel with a partner in India?
No, I did not.
Have you thought about what would happen?
I do get a little nervous now because I do. I know Malik has gone with his partner, and I do get nervous about like what elements of that law can, you know, obviously we know like men hold hands in India.
Yeah.
They hold hands in a lot of African countries too. But I do worry about what level do you get harassed or arrested at, you know? Obviously, there's not a lot of a physical affection there in general.
True.
You know, I never saw anyone kiss.
The
movies don't show kissing, you know?
No, they do.
Do they?
Yeah. They've relaxed the censorship.
Isn't that crazy?
A lot.
There's so much violence, so much shooting, so much. But that's here too. You can. Walking Dead can show, and I love the show. A friend's showrunner, another friend's writer. Love, love, love. But that's. Even I am not too squeamish, but I'm like, whoa, what the fuck? You know, we just saw like head splattered, smashed, everything. And I remember like in Trainspotting. Remember the movie? Trainspotting?
Yes.
That there's that element that they couldn't show the girl having an orgasm or enjoying herself during sex. That was the scene. Not the drug use, not Ewan McGregor's dick. It was a woman enjoying herself during sex or the orgasm. Just again, camera angle on like chest up, face. That's what got them at NC-17, that they had to cut that.
Yeah.
Sexually squeamish, I guess everyone is. We're not French.
We're not. I don't know if we want to put the French on the pedestal necessarily, but from this standpoint, yeah, they are more.
You know, like I think of like European countries where it's a little lax. I think also when you don't make it a taboo, it's less forbidden. I remember.
There's the idea that more people drink underage simply because it's 21 instead of 18.
It's rebellion. You know? It's teenage rebellion. Mm-hmm. We're the 21-year-old country versus 19 Canada. Every other country, you know, you can literally go to war and kill someone in Afghanistan or Iraq.
Yeah,
but
I think the law is stupid, but I don't think people drink more in America than they do in like a France or.
No, they do.
I do.
There's more binge drink. They've done studies. There's more binge drinking.
Look at our colleges.
Because it's not necessarily that people drink less in Europe. It's just that they binge less because they know, oh, it's not a big idea. It's not such a big deal. I'm allowed to do it. So I don't have to like go crazy.
If you grow up drinking that glass of wine with your family at dinner, then you're not going to go pound a bottle of wine when you're 19 or 20 in college and away from home.
I mean, it's the difference. It's the way I drink now. It's the way I drink now versus when I drank in college. When I drank in college. It's just that. It's just that now that I'm able to and I'm like, I'm not, why would I want to do that?
I get in the trap, speaking of drinking sometimes, about like when I do go to the gay bars sometimes, I feel like I drink more than I do any place else. Because it's still kind of like that 20-something mentality of like going to the gay bars, trying to hook up. That this was a safe haven. You know, this is tied, alcohol and gay culture, because it's a drug, it's an escape.
Right.
Versus like at the Seder dinner, at the brunch parties, the unlimited champagne brunch, you know. Like I had two glasses. Yeah, it's just because it wasn't.
Because why?
It wasn't the time or place. But then I do feel like when I got to the gay bar, like, yeah, let's get our game on. I do change back into that. That is funny how you talked about like how you drink now versus how we drank in college.
Well, Parvesh, it's come up at that time. We gotta end it.
Why? I don't have to do anything. I'm just going to go home and watch more television.
Well, we can keep talking off the air. No one's going to stop that. Guys, we're gonna drop our discussion episode in a couple days.
Real quick, Parvesh, where can people reach you?
Oh, yeah, please. Oh.
Good looks. At Parvesh on Twitter, Parvesh.
What about Instagram? You on that IG? You Snapchatting?
No, not Snapchatting, but I think I have it. At Parvey, Parvey for Insta.
For Instagram.
Yeah.
Well, like I was saying, everybody hit us up on Twitter if there's something that you want to talk about, something that the Parvesh has said that interests you or offended you or that you really love. Hit us up on Twitter, on Facebook, on our website. Get at us, please. We'd love to talk to you.
Rate the podcast, review the podcast, subscribe to the podcast.
Download.
All right, guys. We'll talk to you next week. I'm Akash.
I'm Arjun.
God bless.